Take your Bible and turn tonight to the book of Romans with me, please. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. There's still some back there? Okay. If you didn't get one Sunday and you'd like to have one, there's some coffee mugs back there from Charity and Bob's wedding. And they've just got Mr. and Mrs. and the date on it. If you'd like to have one of those, you help yourself to it after church. Okay. I talked to several of you ladies about maybe cooking up some breakfast meat for us on Saturday morning, if you'd be sure to pick that up. My wife knows where it is over in the fellowship hall, and I appreciate that so much. Romans chapter 1 tonight. Did I miss any announcements in the announcements or anything I was supposed to announce that I didn't? I did it all by memory. Amen. That'd be a miracle if I got it all right, wouldn't it? Amen. I can't get it right half the time when it's in front of me. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 1 tonight. This is what's in my heart for the service this evening, looking and leading up to our visitation on Saturday morning. The Bible said Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Think about that statement right there. The church at Rome had a faith in God that was spoken of throughout the known world, the whole world at that time. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If correctly read, that's the first 18 verses of Romans chapter 1. Let's pray just a moment. Lord Jesus, I need your help, and we pray, God, tonight that you would help us, our Lord, that we might be a help. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would illuminate, Lord, our hearts and our minds, and God, tonight that you would help us, Lord, to share truth, our Father, that might challenge us along the way and stir us up, our Father, in the things of God. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for these that have gathered for prayer meeting at Bible Way tonight. Thank you for all of the young people that have gathered here tonight. And Lord, many of our elderly people tonight are suffering. And God, we ask your touch, a special touch upon them tonight. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to look for and long for the day when you'll come and take us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to look tonight at this faith that's spoken of. This faith that is spoken of throughout the whole world. I've often thought, I put it in the bulletin a couple Sundays back, thinking about the visitation and thinking about going out into the community. I've often thought how wonderful it would be if the day would come that whether Bloomingdale believed it or not, they would know what we believe. Amen? Whether they received it or not, they would know who we have received. Amen? And have a clear understanding. You might say, preacher, we live in the Bible Belt. Actually, we live in the buckle of the belt, don't we? Amen? And you might say, well, everybody knows the way to heaven. That's just not true. You'd be surprised tonight how many people are deceived. You'd be surprised how many different avenues that people are leaning on in a hope of heaven. If you don't believe that, start asking people this question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? First of all, not too many people will say, well, sure, I know that for sure. Some will. How many knows that for sure tonight? That'll bring me to my first point in the message. Amen. But everybody don't know that. Amen. And then some that would say, I know that. They will give you a wrong answer when you ask them, how do you know that? There'd be people that say things like this. America's a Christian nation. I live in America. And people say, my grandfather was a preacher. Or my father was a preacher. There's people say, I pay my bills and I'm a good citizen. I do the best I can. I try to be a good mother. I try to be a good father. And I want to look at this faith tonight that Paul is speaking of here. It's a Bible faith. And I'll show you tonight this faith that's spoken of and that we would like to have spoken of one day throughout this entire community. I believe it would be a wonderful, wonderful goal. Amen. If Jesus would give us time and Jesus would give us manpower to go out and let others know that there is a God in heaven that cares about them and that died for them on an old rugged cross. First of all, if this faith is going to be spoken of, this is kind of a simple outline. But number one, you have to have faith. You have to have it. If you're going to speak of it, you have to have it. It's something that I believe that you have tonight. I know that I have tonight. And others, I believe, need to understand that we have tonight. You have to have faith. You say, preacher, what about the Bible here? Look in verse number 2. The Bible said it was a servant. He was a servant of Jesus Christ in verse 1, separated unto the gospel of God. Let me ask you this question tonight. Could you readily answer me tonight if I ask you, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Brother Frankie, think about this right here. I sat on an ordination council. It's been several years ago. And the preacher that was being ordained was asked the question, what is the gospel? And he couldn't answer it. I'm being honest with you. It threw him for a loop. Amen. That question shouldn't throw us for a loop as a preacher, let alone as God's people. Amen. And a preacher spoke up and he said, well, would you say? And then he kind of led on into it and he said, yes, sir, that's what I would say. That's the gospel. Some people, when you ask them what the gospel is, they say, well, it's the good news. It is. What's the good news? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It'd be good news if they knocked on one of my doors with them checks. It's about that big. Say amen. You say whatever y'all tell, it'd be good news. Amen. Amen. Would it be good news? Amen. It's not going to be good news if I win the lottery because I don't play the lottery. Amen. But if I don't even enter the publisher clearing house, so I guess I'm not going to get that either. Amen. But there's all kinds of good news. But the good news of the gospel is how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, that is so simple. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you something right now. People are trying to go around it. And amen, if you go to heaven, you won't go around the gospel. You'll go through the gospel. You won't go around the cross. You'll go through the cross. You won't go around the blood. You'll go through the blood. You won't go around the Lord Jesus. You'll go through the Lord Jesus. He is the door. So we have to have faith. Let me say three things tonight about this faith. Number one, this faith originates in the Scripture. It always originates in the Scripture. You say, preacher, what do you believe? And why do you believe it? Well, here's what I believe. I believe the Bible, and I believe it because it's trustworthy. Amen? I believe if the devil could have done anything with the Bible, he would have done it a long time ago. Amen? And so we have a Bible. And the Bible said this in verse number 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. How many believe the Scriptures holy, pure, perfect, undefiled? Amen? I've often said every month it seems like somebody wants to write a new Bible. And it's not that we need a new Bible. It doesn't need to be fixed. We're what needs to be fixed. Amen? And tonight, the Scripture is where our faith originates. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let me give you something tonight. I want to help the church tonight. Listen, I want to help you tonight right here. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we think here is the only place that people can hear the gospel. That's not true. Amen? They can hear the gospel where you work. They can hear the gospel where you live. They can hear the gospel in the hospital. They can hear the gospel in the nursing home. They can hear the gospel on the street corner. They can hear the gospel. That's why Jesus said, go into all... Listen, He did not say go into all the churches. How many heard what I just said? He said go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature. That's one at a time. One at a time. One at a time. I thank God for gatherings like Pentecost in the Bible. I thank God for getting together in church on Sunday morning. But listen, we're missing opportunity after opportunity. I took one of these gospel tracts one time. I was on the elevator over in Johnson City. And I pulled that little elevator thing out and stuck it in behind where them buttons are right there. And a fellow was with me. He said, why did you do that? I said, that's just in case somebody wants to go higher than the 7th floor. Amen? Listen, all over the land you would find gospel literature. But I tell you what's wrong. We've lost our confidence that the Word of God will get the job done. Amen? If we have confidence that it'll get the job done, then we'll spread the seed around. If we have confidence that it'll get the job done, then we know what we believe. Amen? We have that faith. And thank God we'll want to share that faith with somebody else. We have to have faith. It originates in the Scripture. I believe that, don't you? Number two, not only this faith that we have tonight, do you have that faith tonight? Listen, I will guarantee you that in a crowd this size, and I know this ain't the biggest crowd in the whole wide world, but I'll guarantee you that if people would be judgment day honest, that in a crowd this size, there's somebody sitting here tonight, if they say, I know for sure that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven, there's somebody that's got a little doubt right there, and maybe a lot of doubt right there, amen? And just hard to swallow that pride, and hard to admit it, but I thank God tonight, we have a faith tonight that originated in the Scripture, but number two, it always points us to the Savior. Watch what the Bible said here. In verse number 3 down through verse number 7, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that the Scripture, by the way, the Holy Ghost, what Jesus said when He comes, He said He's not going to speak of Himself. You say, preacher, how can you know if you're having a Holy Ghost meeting, Jesus will be being bragged on? Amen. Jesus will be the one that's lifted up. Jesus will be the one that the Holy Spirit is pointing people to. Amen. And so the Bible is teaching us not only is our faith, does it originate in the Scripture, but it's our faith that pointed us to the Savior. Amen. The Bible said here concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power. You see, that right there is a whole mouthful. That's a whole Bible study. The Son of God. The Son of God. You say, well, everybody knows Jesus is the Son of God. No, the Pharisees didn't know it. There's a lot of people in Bloomingdale don't know it. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, He is God's Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. Amen? He went about doing good. They crucified Him and hung Him on an old rugged cross.
But he got up the third day according to the scripture. And the Bible, when it says he's the Son of God with power, he made himself, the Word of God said, equal with God. Amen. A lot of people want to talk about him being a prophet or being a priest or being a good man. My friend, unless we'll believe, the Bible said he is the Son of God. We have to believe that he is. So he's, that's why it meant everything when that thief looked over at him and said, Lord. He said it all in one word. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What he was saying is, I believe you are who you said you are. Amen. That's the faith. That's the faith. We need to have faith. Do we have that faith? And then it's becoming. Look here at what the Bible said. Among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. In verse number 7. To all that be in Rome. Beloved of God. Watch this. It is becoming of the saints. Called to be saints. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this tonight. When a person has genuine faith. They'll have some genuine peace. And when a person has genuine faith, they'll have some genuine grace. Somebody say amen right there. I tell you, you won't be walking around with something on your shoulder just daring somebody to knock it off. Amen. I tell you, I'm not going to go into detail, but over there at the wedding this last weekend, there was a lady I feel plumb sorry for. I'd hate to be that close to the grave and be that miserable. Amen. I'm telling you, she wasn't only miserable, she wanted to make everybody in earshot miserable too. Amen. But when we have faith, we have some grace. When we have faith, we have some mercy. Say amen right here. When we have faith, we have some love. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, how can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? You can't do it. Amen. When you love God, you're going to love others. Amen. It's becoming of the saints. Real faith, genuine faith. Look at verse 12. He said, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I'll tell you something right now. He said, preacher, I don't understand the importance of this faith. Well, we have to have it. If we don't have it, brother, if I have 100, I can share 100. But if I don't have 100, it's hard for me to share 100. Amen. I tell you what I did do one time. I didn't have 1,000, but I shared 1,000 by faith. He said, how'd you do that? They were taking up donations over there at Oak Glen Baptist Church to build the church. And somebody stood up and said, I'll give $1,000 if somebody will match it. And I'm thinking, oh boy, wouldn't that be terrible if $1,000 got away? And I'm just thinking, studying about it, a little good Baptist study about things a little bit. Amen. And then all of a sudden, the pastor said, that's been matched. I felt like I was off the hook. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit began to stir in my heart. He said, Abraham trusted me to raise up Isaac. Couldn't you trust me to raise up $1,000? I mean, it's just before Thanksgiving. Amen. And Christmas times are coming. Amen. You want to test your faith? Give away $1,000 that you ain't got right before Christmas and your wife's sitting there. Say amen. Amen. And the Lord began to stir in my heart. And I tell you, the Lord put that hook back in my jaw. And I felt like I was back on the line. He was dealing with my heart. And I was trying to get out of it. And my pastor had the audacity to say something like this. God might want somebody to give $1,000 that ain't got it. How many believes he is talking to the same Holy Ghost that was talking to me? Say amen. Boy, I stood up weeping, brother, and I told that about Abraham. I said, Abraham trusted God to raise up Isaac. I ain't got it, but I'm trusting him to raise up $1,000, and you'll get it when I get it. Now, that should take some time, shouldn't it? We had our Thanksgiving service on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So that left Wednesday open for me. Down there where Brother Darris Horn, pastor, this last church down at Elam. Your dad was the pastor down there. There was 11 of us in the service, Brother Michael. 11 of us. I called Brother John. I said, Brother John, we're having our midweek service on Tuesday. I said, y'all having prayer meeting Wednesday night? He said, yeah. I said, I thought about coming by. He said, come on, but be ready to preach. And I knew that it was. Amen. I went in there and preached, got done. He folded up a check, put it in my pocket as I went out the door. Anybody want to guess what that check was made out for? Yeah, not $1,001, not $999, $1,000. Amen. I gave it to my wife. She went to weeping. And you know, I could see a woman. Amen. I could see a woman saying something like, glory to God, it's Christmas. She never mentioned it. That tells me what she had been praying about since her husband got up and done that. Amen. She said, honey, there's the offering. And she said it with tears. And I was getting ready to go back on the road. I told her to take it on and put it in the offering plate. In other words, friend of mine, sometimes you just need to have something before you can give it away. Say amen. And to have faith is to know that God has done a work in your heart and know that God wants you to share that with somebody else. Number one, we have to have faith. Our faith is spoken of. We have to have it. Number two, we have to live by faith. Look with me here in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 1. The Bible said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. How many believes that God wants what's inside of you and I? A better way to put it is who's inside of you and I to be revealed to others. How many believes God wants that? Amen. And the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. The Bible said over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said this. It said, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If I ask you tonight to take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down everything that right now you're believing God for. What are you believing God for right now? What are you believing God for? There's a young man sitting back there in the back. I tell you what, if you don't know what it is to believe God, you better learn right quick. Amen. I do believe you know, Brother Frankie. I'm just picking on you a little bit. But what are you believing God for tonight? What are you believing Him for? Are you believing Him to save those lost loved ones? Are you believing Him to help you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Are you believing Him to do a work through your life in the lives of others? The Bible said the righteousness of God is revealed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 quickly. Romans chapter 10. You say God's wanting to reveal Himself to others, but the way He does that's not through the cows. The way He does that's through you and I. But watch what the Bible said. Paul said it like this. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Prime Minister of Israel was on the news yesterday. I don't know if you saw him or not, but I tell you what, I believe he's a good man. He went back to his forefathers. He talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and talked about their existence as a nation and their dependence upon God. We know that nationally right now the Jew is blind. We know that according to the Bible. But I'll tell you something right now. Paul had a burden for the Jews. He said, my heart's desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Let me just say this to you tonight. There's a whole lot of people that have a zeal of God that's not according to knowledge. If our zeal does not line up with the Bible, then we're in trouble. Amen. The Bible said here, watch it in verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. How many believes there's somebody in Bloomingdale that's ignorant of God's righteousness? Come on. How many believes there's somebody in Bloomingdale going about to establish their own righteousness? I'll guarantee it tonight. I'll guarantee you there's some people tonight that go to church, not because God said not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Not, my friend, for any reason other than it makes them feel a little better. The Bible tells us they were ignorant of God's righteousness. How do we get God's righteousness? Somebody tell me in two words how we get God's righteousness. By faith. By faith. Going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. I believe verse 4 said something like this, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end of the law for righteousness. There's no law for righteousness. Paul said it. Look over in the book of Philippians with me just a minute. I'm talking about living by faith. The Bible said here, not only do we have to have faith, but we must live by faith, that the righteousness of God might be revealed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Over here in the book of Philippians, listen to what this apostle said to us here about his faith. In chapter number 3, I believe it is. I'll know in just a minute when I get there. Yes, chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Paul said it like this. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. How many knows that Paul has a long list of credentials? I mean, he's a Pharisee of the Pharisee. This man is set at the feet of Gamaliel. He's got an education. My friend, listen, that the average person in Kingsport would know nothing about. And he said, I count it all but loss. I count it all but dung. Why? He said, because there's only one reason for me to run, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what he said here. He said, and be found in Him. He said, that's the way I want to be found. I want to be found in Him. You know, when Jesus comes, you know how people are going to be found? Either in Him or outside of Him. But He said, I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We must have faith, but then we must live by faith. Someone said this, and I like it. I'd rather see a sermon as to hear one any day. I don't believe in what they call lifestyle evangelism. In other words, that just says they're watching my life, but I really don't need to say anything. Well, Jesus said, you shall be, what's the next word? Witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. If you go in a court of law and the witness gets up there and the witness has got a good character and he's up there on the stand, amen, and everybody in town knows he's a good man. He's a man of his word. He's a man of honor. And you call on him and he keeps his mouth shut. Guess what? He's not a witness. He can be a great man. He can be a man of great character. But he must say something in order to be a witness. That's why I believe the Bible said something like this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many believe this is in the Bible? It's over in the book of Peter. I looked at it a while ago. That we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that lieth in us. Now let me give you something right here. Listen to me carefully right here. I'm not fussing. But if we talk like them, they'll never ask us. If we walk like them, they'll never ask us. If we joke like them, they'll never ask us. If we look at the same things they're looking at and listen to the same things. In other words, what this walk of faith is talking about, that people are saying, man, he's different. Listen to what he's singing. That's not what I'm singing. That's not what the world's singing. Amen. Listen to that tune he's whistling. Listen, I know he just got some bad news. And watch how he's living. Amen. They're going to watch us in the valley a whole lot more than they are on the mountaintop. And so we're living this faith. It's a living faith. Amen. It's living. And the righteousness of God is being revealed. And then God said, when you live like that, somebody's going to say, hey, how did you get this? Where did you get this? What is this that you have? Amen. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight. But when we really get serious right here, we're getting closer to being what the Bible calls spirit-filled. Spirit-filled is not just about a bunch of jabber. I'll tell you what it means to be spirit-filled. It means that the Holy Ghost is in control of your life. It means that we become sensitive when He wants us to turn, when He wants us to turn, when He wants us to go straight, when He wants us to speak up, when He wants us to keep our mouth shut. Amen.
But the whole time we're letting our light shine because we're doing exactly what He would have us to do. We need to have faith. We need to live by faith. Galatians said this. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who is it they need to see? Somebody tell me in one word. Who is it they need to see? I don't know how many times, and I don't say this boastfully. If you walk with God, somebody will say it to you. Somebody will say, you shouldn't have done that. Or you didn't have to do that. You know what I'll say over and over and over again? I get to. Amen. And yes, I had to. You want to know why? My Lord told me to. Amen. And I think that's the way it ought to be. Amen. That we might be a witness, not just with our lips, but certainly with our lips, but with our life as well. I believe that we ought to live by faith, don't you? Somebody said this. I read it. An old Scotsman. He had a service where he would take people in a rowboat, Brother Arnold. He'd take them across the channel in a rowboat. It was a form of transportation. And on one oar, he had the word faith. And on the other oar, he had the word works. And it gave him opportunity after opportunity to witness for the Lord. People say, why do you have faith on one oar? And why do you have works on the other oar? Somebody tell me, according to the Bible, what faith is without works. Dead. Being alone. It's dead. Here's what he said. This old Scotsman, he grabbed that oar of faith, and he just pulled on that oar. How many knows what that boat's doing when you're pulling? How many knows what we're doing a lot of times? I didn't say you. We're doing a lot of times in our life. We're just going around in circles. Am I right or am I wrong? Just going around in circles. You just pull on that oar of faith. Pull on that faith. Stay in that Bible. But don't ever mention it to anybody else. Amen. Oh yeah, you're growing in grace and knowledge. And we ought to. But we're just pulling on that oar of faith. Now, turn that oar loose and pull on that oar of works. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are we doing when we do that? He did. We're just going the other way in a circle. Amen. But what happens when you get a hold of both of them? Glory to God. God just showed me this. This wasn't an illustration. But I tell you what happens. You're going to the other side and you're taking somebody with you. Hallelujah! Amen! You're going to the other side, but you're taking somebody with you, pulling on both oars. Amen. You say, why in the world did God plant Bible Way Baptist Church right in the middle of the Bloomingdale community? I tell you why. Hey, some folk need to go to the other side. And God wants us tonight to pull on both oars, Brother Brian. Get a hold of both of them. Amen. Don't just get a hold of one. And either one's out of balance if you're just pulling on one. But just get a hold of both of them. And I tell you something right now. God can help us to see others. To the other side. Have faith. Number two, live by faith. But number three tonight, we need to share our faith. I've touched on this through the message, but let me show you to you here in chapter one. We need to share. We need to share. How many of you all here are parents? Would you raise your hand if you're a parent? Would you raise your hand if you're a grandparent? Okay. Let me ask you this question tonight. Do we have to teach our children to share? Raise your hand if you're a parent. You had to teach your children that. Say amen. Did you have to teach them, Brother Eddie, to be selfish? No, they got that from their daddy. I'll give you a little help. You got it from your daddy. He's sitting back there too. And he got it from his daddy. Amen. That sin nature we just go all the way back to Adam with. Amen. So you had to teach them to share. He said, preacher, I don't understand why you'd preach to us like this tonight. Because I'm trying to teach you that we have something. We all said we have it, didn't we? Amen. We have faith. And God said, I want to teach you to share it. I want to teach you to share it. Watch what Paul said. If we'll realize these things right here tonight, we'll want to share. Number one, he said, I am debtor. I'm debtor. If you're a debtor, you owe something.
How many feels like tonight, church, we owe it to them? We owe it to them. We owe it to them. We owe it to them. Those that are walking in darkness, we owe it to them to share the faith that we have. Number two, he said this. He said, I am ready. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready? If someone walked up to you and said, what must I do to be saved? Are you ready to give an answer? Some would say, well, the Bible answer would be believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that certainly is a Bible answer. Amen? But how many believe sometimes that needs a little explanation as what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? See, God showed me something, Brother John. I wasn't dealing with Nicole in the right way. I wasn't dealing with her right. God showed me. I'd been speaking to her for over a week about her soul. And you know what I was doing, brother? I was dealing with her from the end of God's love and God's mercy. No one's interested in God's love and God's mercy till they understand that they're under God's judgment. How many remembers the day when preachers preached a whole lot more on sin than they do in this day? Say amen right there. You see, it's the law that's our schoolmaster. In other words, we people need to understand you're not nearly as good a person as you. Even listen, the wickedest man in Bloomingdale can die. People will walk by tonight and say, he's a good old boy. He's a good old boy. I'm going to tell you something right now. The wickedest man's not a good old boy, and the best man in Bloomingdale without Jesus is not a good old boy either. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And we need to be taught that. We need to understand that. We need to understand not only that we're sinners, but we need to understand that we owe a debt for our sin. We owe a payment. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. The wages of sin is death. You see, this information means nothing unless the Holy Spirit gets in the middle of it. And when the Holy Spirit gets in the middle of it, He makes sin exceeding sinful. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He also has a way of making God's mercy exceeding merciful. Say amen right there. And God's love exceeding a love. And the Bible's telling us here that we need to understand that we're debtors, but we also need to understand that we need to be ready. And then the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many of you can say tonight, without hesitation, I am not ashamed of Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of the God. How many ever heard the song Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote, Not Ashamed? I love that song, don't you? Not ashamed, amen? Not ashamed. But let me ask you something right now. How many of you, like myself, we find ourselves letting the Lord down? Amen? It's not necessarily that we're ashamed as a whole. But I tell you something right now, we find ourselves letting the Lord down, do we not? When the Lord would have us to speak up, we shut up. When the Lord would have us to say a word fitly spoken in due season, we just keep our mouth shut. And I'm going to tell you who we're the worst around, that's our own families. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, families need the Lord. And the Bible's telling us here, Paul said, number one, I'm a debtor. I owe it to them. Number two, Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to tell them. And number three, Paul said, I think I'll just tell them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, preacher, everybody knows. No, they don't. No, they don't. We'll share our faith if we sincerely believe. I'll give you these three things and I'll quit. If we sincerely believe these three things, and these three things are taught right here in this chapter. If we sincerely believe that the Savior is the Deliverer. See, what happens if we're not careful? My son got over there the other night in that wedding practice. He said, Dad, I can't remember the name, the place that he named. It was some ungodly place that he named. But he said, I've seen more piercings and more tattoos than he named another place. Amen. And I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of them. But you know what we do sometimes? We can't look past them piercings and them tattoos. That Cody's girlfriend,
pierced here and all dyed up and this, that, and the other. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Right before she left, she squeezed me. And I'm asking God to give me an opportunity to win that young'un to Jesus. She's 17 or 18 years old. And we've got family members that don't want to hear it. But I tell you what, they just something in the way that young'un squeezed me before she got in the car and left. I believe she saw something this weekend. That's my prayer. The Bible said the Savior is the deliverer. He can deliver people, whether they've got tattoos or whether they don't. Whether they've lived in a gutter or whether they've lived in a mansion on the hill, they both need deliverance. And the Savior is the deliverer. Number two, we need to believe this. If God's going to use us, the saints are debtors. How many believe we don't belong to ourselves anymore? He bought us, paid for us. We owe it to Him and we owe it to them. Amen. And then number three, and sometimes you listen to me carefully. I'm not going to say you, I'm going to say we act like we don't really believe this right here. But the sinner's doomed. He's doomed. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you said. The Bible said in John chapter 3, he's condemned already. Brother Arnold, if you fall over in that chair tonight, I'm going to stop preaching right now, brother. And I'm going to do what I can to help you because it's an emergency. I mean, I've been listening to my radio and they told me get up on your chest and push hard in the middle of your chest. Amen. I like that. That gets me out of kissing him. CPR. Amen. I better get that cleared up. Amen. Amen. He said, if I'm dying, let me die, preacher. Amen. But the thing of it is, if somebody collapses, then it draws our attention. If there's a nurse in this building, you're coming. Somebody's going to get that phone out. 911. Amen. It draws our attention and people are dead in trespassing and sin. And seemingly, it's hard for God to get our attention. That sinners are actually doomed, condemned already. Condemned already. Condemned already. They're not waiting condemnation. God said they're condemned already. And the only way to escape that is if the Spirit of God would quicken that individual. And we'd like to leave it right there. Some of us would, or some in the world would like to leave it right there, Brother Brian. That puts it all in God's court. Now we have a responsibility. God uses the saints of God. God uses the Spirit of God. God uses the Scripture, the Word of God, to bring that quickening in that individual's life where they can respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing tonight. Just be a part of God's church. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I just feel like God's going to help us to see some fruit. He said, preacher, you looking for fruit Saturday? I didn't say Saturday. I've got news for you. If you plant a tomato plant Saturday, I doubt if you're going to eat tomatoes Saturday evening. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes when we do get to lead somebody to Christ, let me tell you what it is. We're just reaping where somebody else has already been sowing. And somebody else has already been watering. I'll leave you with this tonight. Young people, when I was in the prisons and I'd have the privilege to lead a man to Christ on the other side of those bars, without fail, I'd ask that man, sir, is there somebody in your family that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they love Jesus? I didn't ask him if there was a Baptist in their family. How many knows there's some people in this world besides Baptists that love Jesus? I'm a Baptist and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. But we're not the only ones that love Jesus. I'd say, sir, is there somebody in your family that loves Jesus? And most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, they skip the generation. And they would say, my grandmother.
or my grandfather. How many knows that's right? Amen. We've skipped a generation. Maybe 20% of the time somebody would say, it's my mom or it's my dad. Most of the men in prison didn't grow up with a dad. You talk about the importance of being a good dad. That ought to tell us right there. Amen. Children need fathers and they need mothers and they need them both. And I'd look at that man and I'd say something like this. They love Jesus? Oh, yes. I say, can I tell you what you're looking at? You're just looking at an answer to prayer. I say, you reckon your grandmother's been praying for you? Oh, I know she has. I say, if you had listened to grandmother years ago, you probably wouldn't be here, right? That's exactly right. How many knows them grandmothers good preachers sometimes? Amen. I tell you what, they'll set it right down the line. Amen. But a lot of people won't listen. A lot of people won't listen. I believe we'll meet people Saturday when we go out. I believe we'll meet people. It's somebody out there is already praying for them. Somebody out there already cares about them. Miss Eve, we may not get to win your mommy, but if we'll pray, God may send somebody through Jarrettsville, Maryland. Ring your mommy's bell one more time. I preached in a service and she left the service weeping uncontrollably. The only time I've ever seen her under Holy Ghost conviction. We may not get to win her, but if we'll pray, I believe God will help somebody to go by, amen, with the gospel. How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes the faith will make a difference, amen? Made a difference. When I was preaching tonight, how many could look back in your mind's eye and see somebody in your life that was in your life exactly what I described tonight in this service? How many can remember that? Amen. Somebody was a light. Somebody was a blessing. Somebody was a vessel. God wants us to turn around and be somebody else's light. Be somebody else's vessel. Help them to Jesus. Father in heaven tonight, what a privilege it's been to stand here tonight with my dear people. God, tonight I know, Lord, I believe you're excited about Saturday, Lord. And Lord, we'll get to talk to some folk between now and Saturday. God, every time I go to that hospital, those waiting rooms are sitting full of people that are hurting. God, I pray tonight you'd help us, Lord, to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than we've ever been in our life. God, help us tonight when we go out Saturday, Lord, to encourage others. Lord, we're going to try to visit some people that are unsaved, but we're going to try to visit some people that, Lord, just need to be encouraged along the way, some people that love you. And Lord, it's all important. Lord, folk have signed up to help with breakfast. Others have signed up to help with the children. Many have signed up, Lord, to go out and visit. God, would you just help us? Lord, if you don't help us, it'll be a mess. But God, if you'll help us, we'll see the mercy of God magnified in our midst. Help us, Lord. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.